What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Hello. Good morning to all of you wonderful people joining me here on your Tuesday, blessing me with your ears. You are listening to What the Health, and I am Gabby Allen. I'm a huge health and wellness enthusiast, being a personal trainer and all that, it kind of makes sense. But I am your host because you're here. I love to talk, especially to exciting, inspiring individuals, and that is exactly what we do in the show. It's the highlight of my week. So, on today's show, I have Faye Edwards, international fitness presenter, joining me. And followed by that, we have a sound bath healer. And don't miss the part of the show where I get to answer some of your listener questions. But firstly, we're going to be discussing fitness technology and what's worth the hype and what isn't. So joining me now is Mike Saw, fitness journalist. Hello, my friend.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Yeah.
Looking cool in his cap. I've just said to him, where'd you get this cap from? It's really cool. So, what do you do then? Tell us.
I am a journalist. I've been covering kind of technology for over a decade. I really specialise in kind of wearable and fitness technology. I'm also big into my running, so I have a YouTube channel with kind of a few other journalists as well too, called the Run Testers, and we test a load of kind of very run eccentric stuff, obviously on there as well too. So this is very much my domain, and I've seen the industry evolve and change, and seen the good and the bad. Mm. So it's exciting time for
fitness. Yeah, because everyone's running, aren't they?
Everyone is running, so which is great, and yeah. That's absolutely what we want. And I think that's opportunity for more brands to grow and new brands to come about. So yeah, it's exciting time to be in the space.
Defo, tell me, you just said about the YouTube thing. So you say, what do you do in there? You just test things out.
So basically, what we do in our day job. So whatever I write about, we put on video, and it's for journalists, for running, kind of mad journalists have been running and all run kind of different abilities. Some are super quick, some are kind of, you know, middle of the pack, and it's giving people an opportunity to get an experience of us testing it across a variety of runners. So, and yeah, it's kind of just interspersing with what we do in our day jobs anyway, which is great, you know.
Yeah,
it's
quite
a cool thing to do. So,
what fitness technologies do you wear then on the daily?
So I have to wear quite a lot. I'm always testing. So
all the devices.
So generally, I will always have a couple of watches. I'm always testing them against another watch. And then for me personally, when I kind of strip it back and what I would actually use day to day, I would always have a watch for my running. I mainly run and swim, and that's kind of what I'd want a watch for primarily. So I'd have a kind of Garmin generally, or I'd switch between an Apple Watch if I wanted more of a kind of a smartwatch experience, but it's going to be able to track my fitness as well too. A heart rate monitor, chest strap, which, you know, I use for my training, and I can kind of get into some of, you know, why I still kind of would rely on that. And then I do have one thing that's slightly out there, but when I swim, I go kind of do pool and open water swimming. I have some kind of smart goggles that have a display that kind of display my kind of workouts and kind of keeps me in check of weather, which is, you know, that's kind of showing you where the kind of innovation is happening in the space.
That is like literally a representation of what our life is going to be like.
Yeah, which is very cool, and it was very weird initially kind of using it, but it's fantastic, and I use every time I go for swimming. That is sick.
So what you can like see on the screen essentially, like your heart rate and all that.
Yeah, so it would display your metrics in one side of the goggle lens, and you know, it seems like it would be unsettling to kind of swim and have that, but it's amazing how quickly you kind of, you know, adjust to that. And you can get heart rate, it will put workouts on there, so if I'm, you know, losing my technique during the swim, it will kind of nudge you to remind
that's
you
mental.
That so
do you think that's the way like fitness technology is going these days then? So like if you're going for a run, would you wear sunglasses that will show you your stuff there as well?
Well, we've had stuff like that already. I think ultimately what's happened is maybe some of that technology has come a little bit too early and maybe hasn't quite been there. But I think the one that I use is very much an example of that technology being in a place where it can be good for people. And there has been examples of glasses that you can, and you know, can cycle and run with, and it will give those metrics and kind of taking you away from, you know, looking down at your wrist and just kind of focusing on what you're doing. And that's really what it's about. I think the best fitness tech is about, you know, making sure that you focus on what you're supposed to be doing in that session, but maybe supplementing it and not really kind of taking you away from that. I think that's the real key thing with where things are going.
So would you say that is like the main detriment to wearing any sort of wearable when you have to look down? Because it does kind of like ruin your pace a little bit. I mean, I'm not a runner like you, but it is true. Like when I'm looking down, I find that I'm like not looking where my feet are going. That's normally when I twist my ankle or something like that, because I'm like, you know, on the Apple Watch where you have to swipe up to see your zones and things like that.
Yeah.
It does kind of throw you off a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think, you know, obviously there are still some limitations in terms of the accuracy of these devices as well too. And I think the key thing for me, a good fitness device is one that you ultimately forget about, you wear, and you can focus on what you're doing, and then, you know, whether it's during or after, you get a sense of how that session was and how well it. And I think ultimately, I think that's where things will go, where it will be, you know, more or less invisible in terms of people knowing that you're wearing it. We've still got a way to go in terms of that happening and actually being very good at the way it does it. But I think ultimately that's where we're going to get to.
But then at the same time, somewhat like, as I said, being new to running, and you know, there are a lot of people that are now running but are new to it, to be able to kind of gauge, you know, like what your zone two is, or you know, what your pace is per kilometer, you kind of do need to be able to see it, don't you? So if it is only on your wrist, you need to look down.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing for me. I think with the fitness devices in general, I think, you know, they're all, you know, they're not all built equally. And I think some are designed for people who are at different stages of their fitness journey. I think that's really important to remember. There are devices which I think if you're very much, you know, just getting into kind of feeling or getting more active, there are devices better suited for that and just kind of nudging you.
What would that be then? For a beginner, what would you suggest them to
get? I think, you know, Fitbit is kind of associated with that. And I think ultimately that's because, you know, a lot of these devices can track all the same things, but ultimately it's about what you get on the device in terms of how it's presented and also how it's presented in the app. Because ultimately, if you know, these sensors and devices can throw a lot of data at you, and it's about presenting to the person, well, what does this actually mean? And what am I going to take away from this? And I think those devices like Fitbit, I think Aura as well, which is a smart ring, it very much simplifies.
I've had one of them.
The data to someone who's not really used to that information, you know, saying, well, actually, I know what to do with this.
Yeah,
I know,
it's not like overwhelming. Where, for example, my brother does marathons. I always talk about him on the show because he's like, he's so into like all of his fitness and stuff, but he's got a Garmin.
Yes.
And like, that he swears by it. He has actually got an Apple Watch as well, but he doesn't wear it. He just wears his Garmin. So would you say that that's more advanced?
Yeah, I think when you get a little bit further in terms of the price range, you're getting more analysis, you're getting more insights, and it takes a little bit more for the user to kind of interpret that. And I think ultimately that's what you have to kind of get to grips with. And I think if you're already kind of, I kind of look at it as, you know, Garmin, also Whoop, I think those are for people who are in slightly different stages of their fitness journey. They're probably already training, they're probably already doing those things that people want to be able to do, and it's about fine tuning your performance and your training. And those things like Garmin and Whoop, that's kind of what, you know, that's how I kind of view those devices.
So would you say that they are the go-tos then for improving your fitness goals, achieving your fitness goals?
I think there's a lot. I think most are kind of very kind of good in doing that. I think it's, I kind of mentioned earlier, is that about presenting that data in a way where you can look at it, glance down and say, actually, I know whether I should be training, maybe I should be taking a rest day. And these devices are getting a lot better at doing that. They're not perfect. And as I mentioned earlier, now, I use a heart rate monitor, chest strap still, when I train, because ultimately the accuracy for me from a heart rate monitor is the optimal for workouts.
Really? Well, they, you know what? I haven't worn one of them since I used to work for an app called Fit.
Yeah.
And they've got the wearable.
Yeah.
But I thought they were dated.
No, but I think ultimately, if you're a little bit more serious about training, a lot of these watches and devices will use that heart rate information to, you know, deliver those insights. And if the accuracy isn't, you know, optimal, then ultimately that advice, is it going to be the most useful? The heart rate monitor chest straps, I would still use if I'm relying on that information. So for me, there's still value in having that for a lot of different workouts. I think particularly if you are kind of doing kind of HIIT style workouts, if you are doing kind of boot camp classes like that, those devices will be more reliable in terms of, you know, assessing your effort levels ultimately. So yeah, while, you know, some people might think it's dated, I think there absolutely is value to still have those devices.
You know, you just brought up a very good point here. So we're talking so much about like how good they are at monitoring your exercises and stuff, but the things like Whoop, they tell you when you need to rest.
Yes.
That is wild to me. How does it do that?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the metrics is heart rate information. And so heart rate data, and one of the measurements is heart rate variability. So it's kind of measuring the intervals between your heartbeat. And it's this kind of move into kind of measuring stress. And I think this is going to be a massive area for fitness devices in general. They're all pretty good at tracking what you do, but it's about, what do I do with this information? And, you know, it's one thing to go and do a class, but ultimately it's like, how is that affecting your body? And one of those ways is measuring that stress. So devices like Whoop are very much about your stress and recovery. So it's looking at your sleep, but it's also looking at your metrics. And for them, it's a metrical strain and, you know, and kind of assessing that and balancing that out. And what does that mean in terms of your day to day and what you should be doing day to day ultimately? So I think that's an area where these devices are going to get a lot better. And that's where a lot of these brands and companies want to kind of, you know, invest in a lot more is what they're telling you about your kind of mental well-being and stress yeah. as well, and how that's going to affect you physically as well.
What do you wear every day?
Yes, yeah, so I would generally wear a Garmin. I think for me, I mean, there's a lot of watches that can track your runs very reliably, but I think in terms of the insights that we spoke about, you know, talking about whether you're ready and prepared to kind of train or whether you should take a rest day, I find it very useful from that point of view. The battery life is very good as well. It's very accurate, first and foremost. So for me, that is something that I'd absolutely rely on.
They're just so big and bulky though, aren't they?
Yeah, but there are, I mean, across the range, and you know, it's very consistent in terms of performance with Garmin's. You can go smaller. I personally would prefer a smaller watch, and that's kind of what I opt for. You get enough battery life, you get enough in terms of performance, enough in terms of the features, and I think, you know, Garmin's probably a standout. I think the Apple Watch as well, it's at the point where it can rival these brands that have been in this space for years, and they have caught up quickly. Like I ran the Manchester Half, I used an Apple Watch, and it was pretty much there in terms of accuracy, and you know, I feel confident to say to people I would rely on that as a watch to kind of track my workouts and exercise. So there's a lot of good options out there. For me, it would be a Garmin, but I think if I had an Apple Watch, I mean, absolutely, that's going to serve a lot of people as well too. So yeah, good choice.
Thanks. Aura rings. So I've had a few. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
And I've lost them all because that's just me.
Yeah.
But what I did find was, as we've just been talking about recovery, it stressed me out seeing how bad my sleep was or how bad my recovery was, because then I'm like, oh, well, it's telling me that I shouldn't train, but I want to train. So how would you say we can combat that? Obviously, probably just rest more and recover more. Yeah. But do you think it is absolutely necessary to follow these devices and what they tell you?
So what I always say is I wouldn't, and this is how I kind of view it, is I wouldn't take it as definitive advice. I think the way I look at it is it's very much geared towards offering guidance for people who don't really know what to do with that information and maybe might help them to navigate what they should be doing. I think for someone, and I talked about, you know, people being in different stages of their fitness journey, I think if you kind of know with your training and you know what you're doing, you can kind of know, well, actually, my body still feels okay to train, and while my device is telling me this and it's pretty reliable in telling me this, you kind of know, I think, ultimately. But I think, you know, that's the way I kind of look at it and use it. It's guidance. It's not definitive advice to say this is exactly what you have to do. I think ultimately you will know in yourself. And also, there's a lot of things that it can't track. It can't physically track, you know, how your muscles feel. You know, it's looking at certain aspects of what's happening in your body, but it's not looking at everything. We're not at that point where it can track absolutely everything, and they're not infallible. But I think ultimately, you know, for me, it's guidance. That's a key thing for me to take away, is that, you know, it's offering good guidance, but it doesn't mean it's telling you exactly what you have to do.
Yeah, I think I feel like you just know everything about it. It just reels off the tongue. I'm like, I want to know more. Have you got an Aura ring on right now? How many devices do you have on right now?
I've got two smart rings. I've got two watches.
Do you beep when you go through the security?
I have to take a lot of devices
you're like,
out.
Hang on a minute, guys.
I mean, I almost lost the Aura, I think, once, and I had to go back and try to find it in the tray, which was a nightmare. I think there's a lot of devices out there, and I think not all devices are designed for everyone. I think it's about finding the right device and, you know, not looking for, assuming they're going to be the solution for you. It's just making sure it matches what your goals and what you want to achieve.
It's just an expensive hobby, isn't it, trying all these devices?
It is expensive. And I think the key thing for me is like a while ago, I would have said, you know, stay away from the cheap devices. I think ultimately, if it's cheap and it's telling you it's doing amazing things, it's probably too good to be true. But that has changed. I think you don't necessarily, and I always tell people who ask me for advice about these devices, like, you don't necessarily need to spend the most money to get an experience that's going to work for you. And that's really important for me.
And also, like, things like Apple, they bring out new ones all the time. Like, but this is about 3 years old now, and it's still, you know, doing what it needs to do.
And that's generally what I would do when I test stuff. That, you know, there's incremental changes a lot of the time, and it's like, look, ultimately, you're going to get the same experience from a watch that came came a year ago. Save yourself some money, spend it on something else that you want, and you know, you're still going to get a good tracking experience.
Exactly. Well, you are amazing, Mike. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, right.
I feel like I need to go and buy a Garmin and an Aura now, but my Apple apparently will do.
Yeah.
You've been great, and I'm definitely going to check out your YouTube as well because I'm a runner now.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Take care. Have the best rest of your day.
Thank you.
So, how amazing, right? I feel like the exercise of the week should be running, but it's not because we've already done that before. So I am going to talk to you. My exercise of the week this week is box squats. So what are they? You can put a box or a bench behind you just to make sure that it's secure and it won't move as you sit down, and put a barbell on your shoulders. Or you can use a dumbbell in front of you if you don't have one and you're doing this at home. But you, if you are in the gym, you can use one of those pre-made barbells. And obviously, the stronger you get or the more advanced you get, you can then use a squat rack and just pop the box behind, you know, far enough so that it's not going to hit the bars at either side of the rack. So what does a box squat look like? I would say to my clients, you're about to sit down on a chair. So you're hinging at the hips, you're dropping your bum back, and your chest obviously stays lifted because when you go to sit down, like, how far do you drop your chest? The weight is in the middle to the back of the foot. And then when you get down, you want to make sure you are still gripping, well, not gripping, that's the wrong word, engaging your core and your back. And then you drive through your heels back up to standing. And that is how you perform a box squat, right? What does it do? It works on your posterior chain. So it's great for any knee injuries, or if you are predominantly trying to focus on your glutes and your hamstrings. It is a great one alternatively to just a regular squat, as it encourages you to really engage your posterior chain rather than getting the quads involved, because sometimes people are more quad dominant. It also helps you build awareness of your squat depth. So obviously you can have different heights of boxes behind you, but it really helps you to feel how low you can go without obviously falling backwards and still keeping that engagement in your glutes. And also, it is a great one for how to learn proper form, because as I said, when you're doing your squats, you do want to be kind of doing like your like a seated motion without losing your balance and going backwards. Core engaged, back engaged, glutes engaged, weight to the middle, to the back of the foot. Box squats are going to be your best friend for gaining power and capacity in those squats. Okay, after this break, I'm going to be joined by the most amazing legend and my friend Faye Edwards, international fitness presenter. I'll see you then.
Foodbar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
What's going on in the DMs? Are you getting naughty pictures from fans? Girls, are you getting the odd little pic? I bet they're popping the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs are doing all right. I've got a lot of cousins, big family, so they're all touching base.
Yeah.
There's a few girls in there as well. I've had some fruity videos come through.
Oh, so, tell us a little bit more.
You wanna go there?
Yeah, we're going there. Access all areas, mate.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Hello, guys. Welcome back. Now I am joined by Faye Edwards, international fitness presenter. Hello.
Hello, Gabby. So good to be here.
Thank you so much for coming in. You are looking amazing. You are doing amazing. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, thank you.
So, I know you, but our audience don't. So I want to send some quick fire questions your way. And I want you to answer them as quick as you can off the top of your head. Yeah?
The pressure.
Don't. It's fine. Okay, so three words to describe yourself.
Energetic, passionate, full of love.
Yes, I love that. We haven't had that one before. Okay, upper or lower body day?
Lower body, baby.
Yeah, baby, same. Workout in the morning or the evening?
Evening, I'm a night owl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
But I wish I had that morning motivation, but I'm just a lazy fitness person.
No, I'm actually getting more into evening workouts recently, mainly because my days are so jam-packed.
Right.
But I am actually enjoying them and I'm like, there's something in this.
Right.
Normally I go in the mornings though. Okay, and sorry, enough about me. Dream workout partner?
You, Gabby, we train together.
You know what? You were the first person ever to say that.
Oh, there we go. We've got to make it happen now then. Got to make it happen.
Okay, you can take me through a leg day.
Yes,
Thank you. Love that. And lastly, what are we going to listen to in our workout? What is your workout anthem?
Ooh, a little bit of drum and bass. A little bit of Stormzy. It's
yeah, Chasing
like,
Status. Hey, you ain't got no backbone. Yes.
Don't get me started. I've got a mic.
Okay, amazing. So as you can tell, she is amazing. So tell us how you got started in your fitness journey and what inspired you to pursue it as a career. I met you in third space.
Yes. Gabby.
So is that where it started?
It kind of. So I was at third space for 10 years. I was group exercise manager. But going back on that story, Gabby, we really wanted you to be a cycle instructor. And we was all talking about, she's amazing, she's amazing. And I remember meeting with you in concierge and like, yeah, you're going to teach for us. And then you disappeared off the face of the earth. And then she was in Love Island. And I was like, oh, that's what happened.
I got
you
the job.
You don't even remember.
No, I do. I got the job. Because what's his name?
Pierre.
I thought he was fit. I was in love with him.
Yeah, now. Pierre is gorgeous.
I taught one class. And then I was like, oh, I need cover for these. And then I was like, see ya.
Peace out. A-town down. Like, yeah, she disappeared onto big, grand things.
Thank you. So, it's not about me. It's about you.
Sorry,
tell me about your career, please.
Okay, yes. So I've been in the industry 12 years and I got to a point... I didn't really live a healthy lifestyle doing your typical, you know, going out partying. And I thought, I've got to do that thing called fitness. I've got to go to the gym. Let me just go to the gym because everyone goes to the gym. I signed up. Long story short, I did a dance class. I got scouted to become a teacher. And I was like, all right, then. I was in youth and community work beforehand. So I fell into it by accident. Even at third space, I was teaching there freelance. And they said, do you want to be a manager? I was like, all right, then. Everything was like, all right, then. And that's why I just trust in the path of life because things just...
Yeah, but you're obviously really good at what you do.
But yes.
And I think like you're really good at it, but you also have this like humbleness about you. So like you're just doing a good job and then you get scouted because you're doing a good job rather than like, I'm going to try and do this to like elevate myself, you know?
True, yeah. Yeah, I'll receive that.
And so how did... coming to work with Davina McCall then? Did she just see how great a job you were doing as well? And she's like, come on, hon.
Well, that was at third space. She was doing an event for a fitness wearable. And we just, when I heard that she was coming to the studio, the operations manager, Shanti, was like, Davina McCall's coming. I'm like, I couldn't breathe. I was such a big fan
of her. She is a legend.
And watching Street Mate when I was growing up, Big Brother. And when she came in, we just gravitated towards each other and we followed on Instagram. She then saw my dance concept, Fit Jam, and she was like, I want to do that. And I happened to know the owner of the studio she went to anyway. And we ended up, I ended up doing a masterclass at her studio, and then that was it. It was, she was like, do you want to come and teach for me on my app? And that was it. We've been friends for the last 8 years.
That is amazing. So tell us about Fit Jam.
Fit Jam is a dance concept. I think it's about 8 years old now. Fit stands for Phase Intentional Training. So all of my concepts, whether it's Fit Jam, Fit Combat, Fit Strength, Stretch, or what have you, start with Fit. Fit Jam is all about focusing on the feeling. I want people to come to this class and feel free to be themselves and to free themselves and to not think about doing a routine as such. No pressure. Follow my lead. And if you don't grasp a move, it doesn't matter. It's not that deep. Just move and enjoy.
Yeah.
It's so hard to put into words because it's a feeling.
No, I see it. I've seen it. And, you know, it is, I think that's the beauty of dance fitness, right?
Yeah.
Because there is obviously the dance fitness where you go to Pineapple and you have to be the best in the room. But the kind of stuff that you do, and it's all over your socials as well. You can see it. It is just the energy. And it's, you can see people feel so comfortable and confident in that space to just, yeah, as you said, be free and be themselves. And not a lot of people are doing that. So well done you.
Thank you. I received that.
So is that what you do on Davina's app then?
All different workouts. So it's going to be strength, it's going to be mobility, it's going to be dance, it's going to be combat. So I suppose Fit Jam is the one I show the most because, you know, I'm really passionate about getting people moving. People who don't enjoy fitness, that's my mission going forward, is getting people to move who do not want to move. Or, you know, some people don't want to lift weights, some people don't want to go, yeah, for a run. There's so many different ways to be active. So Fit Jam is the one that I kind of promote the most, to say, let's make it fun.
Yeah.
Don't think about the workout. Don't think about what your body looks like. Don't think about anything. Think about feeling amazing.
I was just about to say to you, what would you say is like the best kind of exercise then for somebody that is struggling? And I was going to say, Fit Jam sounds amazing because everyone can dance. Yeah. You might have two left feet, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I'll make them feel right.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. Because, and that's what I get often, is, Faye, I can't dance. I don't have no rhythm. I don't have no coordination. It is not about that. Though, if anyone feels that way, that's exactly who I want in the class. Because they'd be surprised. It's all in the breakdown. They may see the end result, but the breakdown is very slow, very simple. And if you don't get it, it doesn't matter. Move in the opposite direction. And
own it.
Seeing the transformation of people feeling maybe conscious or thinking about other people, to then them thinking, oh, actually, I can do this. And even if I do something different, it doesn't matter. It's not that deep. Just move.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. I think there's a girl, off the top of my head, she actually does go to the gym now. So Farrell, if you're listening, I'm talking about you. But she went, I remember she started her fitness journey a few years ago and she's kind of been in and out, you know, tapping in and out. And eventually she was like, I've been going to dance classes. And she's like, because I just go and I get a sweat on and I feel great when I leave. And she, I mean, she doesn't give a fuck about anything, to be honest. But she's like, it's the best way, like, rather than going into the gym. Like, obviously, that is, like, what I love people to do as well. But to get you started off just being in a room with people that you don't know, go to a Fit Jam class, guys.
Right.
So how do you personally stay so motivated? Is it by just helping others? Is it by doing all these things for other people? Or how do you stay so disciplined within yourself?
Do you know what my biggest motivation is? My gran, who's not here at the moment. No, she's not coming back.
Oh, love you, gran.
Love you, gran. Who had diabetes, she had a leg amputated and what have you. And I just thought, if gran did strength training, she might have been at a better advantage moving around and what have you. But it's a different generation, so it's not like, gran, you should have done strength training. I'm not saying that. But she was my motivation, and she would always say, Faye, oh, you're so strong. When I used to try and lift her up the stairs and what have you and help her, she'd be like, oh. I'd say, gran, feel my quads, feel how strong they are. She'd be like, oh, gosh, you're so strong. And she would just make me feel so good and strong.
Yeah.
So she's my, you know, she's always been my motivation. And we are all aging. That is my motivation. Sorry, Gabby. It's the truth.
Crying.
And, you know, we can't change that, but we can help ourselves and keep our independence for as physically long as possible. So that's my motivation. There's days that I can't be asked to train, but I love the feeling of being able to lift anything I want. If I'm moving stuff, 100%. If I travel a lot, I'm carrying my suitcase. You know, I can help someone else with their suitcase too. Yeah, help someone with their buggy. It's about lifestyle. I have a better lifestyle. That is my motivation.
100%. And you know what? I had one of these moments this morning. It was in my trainer schedule that I needed to go for a run this morning. And I woke up and I was like, cannot be arse. It was raining last night. Probably, oh my God, the other day, I slipped. Because there's all these, they look pretty, but all these leaves on the floor.
Oh, no.
And I fucking went arse over tit on the main road. So I've been like, oh, I'm not running anymore. But I had to get back out and do it because I needed to gain my confidence back up again. But anyway, I didn't want to do it. But I just thought to myself, whenever I get out there, I put on some drum and bass. And I honestly do have these moments every single time where I'm like, I am actually so lucky to be able to do this.
Right.
Not everybody gets the opportunity to be able to run like that. And I'm fit and I'm healthy. And I'm like, I just wish that, I want to feel like this for as long as I can. And I wish that I found like this love for it earlier. Because even though I've been in the fitness industry for years and years as well, I did start off in dance. But I am getting more into this, like I'm doing more running now and I'm like more inclined to do that kind of style of training because it's exciting me. And I'm like, why didn't I find this in my early
20s? Yeah.
But I suppose everything happens for a reason.
Yeah,
right?
Everything in divine timing, because now you appreciate it more, you know.
I appreciate my fitness so much more.
Exactly. So,
and yeah. It's funny that you say that about Gran, because I have some people come to me and they are later in the, like clients, and they come to me in their late 40s, perimenopause or menopause, and they're like, now I've realised that I need to get fit, because it's now that I'm noticing that I'm not as agile as I was when I was younger, and they've never really trained before, they've dipped in and out and things, and I find that I just wish that we could say to the younger generation to start now. I mean, it is better.
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
It's definitely better than it was.
Yeah.
But everyone needs to start sooner.
Everybody, we all need to start. And I always say, it's never too late, but the sooner the better. Don't take it for granted. You know, you have to move. Movement is medicine. And as much as I love dance, strength is key. Mm. Strength is the key to life. We need strength to sit on this chair and sit upright. You know, don't take it for granted. So whoever's listening, just move. Find what you love. Reach out to me. I'll give you a free workout. There's no excuse. We can do everything.
Absolutely.
You know, do anything.
And would you say that's the same for someone that's fallen off the bandwagon? Because I think sometimes it's harder to get back on when you've fallen off rather than starting fresh. What would you say to someone that's fallen off the bandwagon?
Start little. Do something firstly that you enjoy. Don't think about the result. Oh, I want more toned arms, so I have to do an upper body workout and then I'm not feeling motivated. Just start little. Just get moving. Even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, a YouTube workout in your living room at home. First of all, start with what you enjoy, or get an accountability buddy, get a best friend or somebody who can help motivate you. Oh, call me. I'll help you.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
That's it.
And what is, like, what's next for you then? What is your goal?
Ooh, so I've launched Phase Intentional Training app, and my goal is to develop that more, you know, get hundreds of workouts on there. My main thing is what I'm going to really...
is it all class-based?
Yeah, so it's just me working out at home. You do it at home with you. So it's you can
follow
do
along.
It any, follow along.
Love.
Anywhere that you anywhere you like. So on my online workouts, what I'd love to do is get my clients, get just any and everybody working out with me. So I go to the film studio, I'm filming the workout, and they are joining me too, because I really want to reach out to those who are not moving at all.
Yeah.
So that's my main priority for the next year is, you know, getting people moving. And the launch of MindFit Retreats, my retreats, I'll be going to Zanzibar in September.
Unreal.
Bringing my ladies there, and Bulgaria as well. So the launch of my MindFit Retreats.
It's that coming. Is amazing. Can I come?
You are more than welcome to come. We've got to do a collaboration.
Yeah,
we've been
we
talking
do.
About this for years, Gabby.
I know. Literally. And we've literally had dates in the diary, and then it's just like life is chaos.
Yeah.
But let's do it. Next year, 2025 is our year.
It's our year, baby.
It is our year.
Let's make it
You
happen.
Are amazing. And it's so... I know we don't see each other all the time, but, you know, knowing you for... what, like 8 years?
Yeah, longer
like that,
than that.
Longer
yeah,
than that.
Yeah.
And seeing you grow and seeing how amazing you are doing. As I said, it comes from the heart and you can see it and you just like pour love into everything, and that is how people are successful. So keep fucking doing it.
Thank you, Gabby. Because you're smashing it. Oh, that is some nice motivation. I love
get
that.
Get it, girl. Thanks for coming in. You've been amazing.
Thank you.
So, coming up after this, I'm going to be joined by another amazing person, a sound bath healer, Kwesi, I think I'm saying it right, Richie Rue. All these beautiful names, and I'm just called Gabby Allen. I'll see you after the break, guys.
Foobar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
You're listening to Foobar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Foobar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Foobar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The Foobar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
It's the sound of your mates alive. It's getting to more gigs this year and the next. It's the sound of saying, I got you, mate. It's the sound of mates enjoying even more of this. It's the sound of mates getting home instead of here. Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
What's going on in the DMs? Are you getting naughty pictures from fans? Girls, are you getting the odd little pic? I bet they're popping the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs are doing all right. I've got a lot of cousins, big family, so they're all touching base.
Yeah.
Girls in there as well. I've had some fruity videos come through.
Oh, so, tell us a little bit more.
You want to go there?
Yeah, we're going there. Access All Areas, mate.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off, because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media, as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What The Health.
All right, mate, we are back in business, and I am now joined for a moment of wellness. Deep breath, everyone. And out. And we're joined by Kwesi, yay, yay, Richie Rue, sound bath healer. Hello, darling.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
So I tested the name, and I was like, I'm just going to go for it and see what it is. And then she was like, yeah, that was right, almost. Thanks for coming in, babes. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks so much. This is my first podcast. So
is it? It's actually a radio show, and then we're
radio
a podcast.
Show. Yeah, sorry, radio show.
Thank you. Well, welcome. I'm so honoured to be your first interview. So, for our listeners who don't know what a sound bath is, what is it? How does it work?
Yeah, so a sound bath is a meditative and immersive experience where participants will come and they'll lie down on mats, and music or sound will be distributed either through the form of wind chimes, crystal sound bowls, or gongs. It really depends on the sound healer and what you go for.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, it leads to a really meditative and restorative state. And it's often easier for beginners who are wanting to meditate than simple meditation, because you just basically receive instead of sitting there thinking about meditating.
Okay, yeah. So for someone like me that does not meditate, it sounds like that would be helpful. Because I actually used to live with a sound bath healer, and she had one of those big, it was a big round thing, and then she used to be in a room, like, just hitting it, and I'd be like, shut up! It wasn't doing what it needed to do. But I suppose in the actual space, it would be, you know, kind of relaxing.
Yeah.
So for a beginner then, sound baths are the one.
Yeah, exactly. And it's through the frequency and the resonance of the sounds that it makes you go into that meditative state.
So do you have to do breath work with it as well?
Yeah, so basically the way in which you start out is your practitioner would take you through a meditation or lead you into something like breath work, and then you'd kind of just slip into receiving the sound.
Okay, so talk us through what a class would look like. Do you teach it yourself?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
I'm a sound healer.
Oh, yeah, of course. So do you use chimes or do you use the gong?
Yeah, so
what's your speciality?
So my speciality is crystal sound bowls. So I use quartz sound bowls. They're a bit more feminine than the gong. The gong's quite masculine. Mm. So sometimes if they're overdone, it can be quite triggering to your nervous system.
Okay.
So crystal sound bowls are the ones that I use. They're more feminine. They go in more gentler. And basically, yeah, you'd come to my studio, which is actually
my
house.
To come. Oh my
yes,
God, really?
Please come. For sure.
Where are you based?
I'm based in Belsize Park.
Okay.
Yeah, so not far away from here.
Yeah.
And you'd come into a dimly lit room, and I have some candles. I have delicious yin mats that I've just bought, and bolsters and eye masks. And basically, I'd lead you into a meditation, and then you'd slip into the sound bath. And it would be 45 minutes of sound healing through crystal bowls. I also have chimes, a little wind chime, and sometimes nuts. And then I'd also walk around with aromatherapy. So I'd have lavender or eucalyptus, and I'd just hover it over your face.
Do people fall asleep? It sounds very relaxing.
People do. And you do get people who snore. Because it really takes you into that theta state of relaxation where you can actually, you're in between falling asleep and meditating.
So there's a lot of talk about sound baths these days that you hear, and I'm seeing them everywhere. My friend actually went to an event last night with them. What are the benefits of using them? I know it's obviously the deep meditative state, but what is the benefit of doing them?
Yeah, so it can lead to a lot of mental clarity, and also with anxiety and ADD, which I have both of, it really helps just to, you know, give you that break and to just go within yourself and just work through anything that you're needing to work through. Mm. Because these bowls, they reach you at a cellular level, kind of shuffles out everything. It just goes into that cell and moves it all around. And there's actually been an image that I've seen on Instagram, which is a cell that has been penetrated by sound, and it just like vibrates and moves. And so all that stuff, because our cells hold so much trauma, it just allows it to move out and pass out. So clearer mind, you're able to like wake up the next few days and just be able to breathe.
Is that what you started doing it for then, for your own internal stuff?
Yeah. My dad was diagnosed in 2021 with cancer, and he ended up passing away.
Sorry.
And thank you. And through that kind of process, I wanted to try and do some healing with him. So I just did aromatherapy.
Mm.
And through that, then I started doing women's circles, and sound healing was brought into one of these circles.
Mm.
And so I decided, oh, this is really interesting. It's something that I've never tried. And I've actually gone deeper into a meditative state, as opposed to sitting there and thinking about meditation.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I got the opportunity to do a course on sound healing. And yeah, my career has just kind of taken a turn from corporate.
That's amazing.
Sound healing.
So, yeah. You should take the sound healing into the corporate.
Yeah, exactly.
And heal all those crazy banker people, like my brother. He needs a bit of
exactly
sound healing.
That's what we're doing.
And okay, so I've tried to meditate before, and I'd say meditating for me is literally sitting there for 2 minutes and listening to some guided meditation person.
Yeah, it
works, but I find that I am really fidgety and I can't shut off my brain. But I feel like when you mentioned the cell thing with how the sound penetrates your cells, it sounds like that would be more beneficial for someone that I also have attention problems. And I feel like it must be more, what's for lack of a better term, like more consuming because the actual sound is like in the room with you. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely.
And I'm not explaining it very well, but I mean, as in, like, if because it's louder than just listening to someone on my phone, like saying, and now deep breaths in for three, it's a surround thing.
Yeah, no, exactly. Even if you don't want to go into a meditative state, your body just naturally does it because the waves and the sound and the different tones are all integrating and creating those waves that take you into that state. So it's definitely easier.
So you mentioned the CNS, our central nervous system. On a mental level, how do the sound baths work to create that effect then? It's actually crazy, isn't it, that sounds can get in there and they like do their thing.
Yeah, no. So with our central nervous system, the main thing is our vagus nerve. And so there's a bunch of things that you can do to really calm your vagus nerve. And that's like from bathing or to sound healing. It really just creates this vibration. So your entire parasympathetic nervous system just relaxes. And so, yeah, it's definitely, I would say, something that's transformed me in terms of healing and healing trauma.
Do you have a practice in yourself in the late mornings? Do you wake up and have a sound bath for yourself?
Yeah, no, I mean, I try to meditate every morning. Sometimes I don't, like I'm not perfect with it, but I definitely find it easier using an app to meditate. And then actually when I'm doing sound bowls, it cleanses and it aligns my chakras too. So it works both for me and the participants that I'm doing it for.
That's actually true. I mean, I definitely don't do anything that relaxing, but when I'm teaching classes, it is the only time that I'm not thinking about anything else. Yeah. And it's so rewarding for me and it calms me and I always feel better even if I haven't trained but I've taught a class.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it gets you in, it's almost like a state of meditation for me because I'm not thinking about anything else.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like you've got something to do. You've got this path and this kind of hour slot where you're doing something and you're doing something for someone else, which is really rewarding too.
So if someone is curious about getting into sound baths, then someone like me, I can come to your studio, which is in Belsize Park. And is that called, your Instagram is Sound with Kwazi.
Yep.
And how often would you say that I needed to go to like get into it?
So it depends on you, like two times a month. If you want to, some of my clients come every week. Just depends your timing, how you're feeling, if you really resonate with them. But two times a month is good
amount. And would you say that you should go when you're in a state of, like, so when I've done yoga before and I am a bit erratic, as you can probably tell. Sometimes it's the last thing that I want to do is go and sit in a room and like and do yoga, even though I'm still moving. So would you suggest to go to someone? And I always come out feeling better, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But it's always not necessarily the one thing I want to do. Sometimes I just want to go for a run or like train or something like that. Mm. What would the best state of mind be for someone to go? Do you think it's good to go when you are dealing with trauma, or do you go when you are feeling a sense of peace so you can know that you can relax?
Well, both. Like, I would say it's like you're treating it like the gym, really, in the sense that you, if you're feeling good, sometimes you don't think that you need to still continue that path of healing. So I know with me, sometimes I tend not to go to gym, or I tend not to do these certain things or meditate because I'm feeling great. But it's that kind of continuous support.
Consistency,
yeah.
It's the same with everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It is so true. And we actually spoke about this, I think it may have been last week's show, but CNS, we mentioned it again, but even just slowing down. I am always on the go, always moving and stuff. So I feel like the only time, I mean, I don't sit down. Last night I didn't sit down to eat dinner until like 9 p.m. at night. Yeah. And I hadn't had a minute to just like chill.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe incorporating something like a sound bath into my week, at least it's like that one time that I know I'm actually just going to go and chill. Yeah,
exactly. And it's because we live in such a busy city. It's like just taking that time, that hour. You sometimes think you don't have time, but you do. And then afterwards, you just feel like this mental clarity and this wave is just washed over your brain and you're like set and ready.
I feel like your house must just be like so soothing when you go in there. You know, like you walk in and there's like incense sticks and there's some like really soft music playing.
Yeah, kind of.
Is it? Oh my God. And then you go into mine and just like tech music. My neighbours hate me.
I love a little bit of tech music.
Do you? So how often do you do your sessions then? I'm going to come to one.
I do them every Monday, 6:30 to 7:30. And yeah, I'm also open for like doing corporate events. And yeah, I also do private sessions. So maybe you ever want a private session?
Yeah, no. I'm going to drop you a message. Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. You are amazing. And I think, do you do the, oh, you only do them on the evenings? I was going to say I could have come after this show.
Yeah, well, whenever. You just message me and I'll make a plan.
Thank you. You're amazing. And you've got such a calming energy. Even though you say that you've got ADD as well, I'm like, really?
The brain is there. The brain is there.
Yeah, the brain's doing this, but you're like, namaste, bitches.
It's the sound healing.
It's the sound healing. Yeah, you've healed yourself. I love it. Thank you for coming in, Gorge. It's so lovely to meet you. And all the best with everything.
Nice to meet you.
I'll see you soon. Now it is time to answer some of your listener questions. Also, remember, if you want to get involved, you can drop me a DM at What The Health Show on Instagram, and I will answer some of your questions next week. So, Kyle asks, how important is it to train till failure? I find that sometimes it affects my gym experience, so I'm not sure what to do. Right. Training till failure is beneficial, and it's, you know, it does what it says, like, you know that you are pushing yourself to your max in your sessions, but it's not entirely necessary for strength or growth. A lot of the time, as I said, it's a great way to guide yourself in how far you're pushing. Like, so if you're pushing to your max because you can't do any more, but you can still get results without it. I would suggest, like, rather than focusing on training till failure, focus more on your progressive overload and working with time under tension. And those elements are going to help you increase strength, not necessarily going to fail you every time, if that makes sense. So also, especially like if you are training on your own, sometimes like failure isn't always the best option because you might necessarily be in a safe position. Like I know that when I'm doing squats, for example, I probably possibly have one more left in me sometimes, but if I can't get back up, I'm falling over in that gym, and that is not a good look for anybody. So I would say just listen to your body, make sure you are getting the max out of a safe and good amount of reps, and then, you know, if you think that you're not going to make it up from that last squat, don't do it, because you're still going to reap the benefits from doing 8 sets of really good squats rather than getting one last out and then breaking your back or falling over in front of everybody. Okay, Adam asks, is there a specific diet that can help you lose weight? I'm aware that certain diets work for certain people, but is there a one-size catch-all? Right, this is very individual-based because obviously some people may have different things that kind of contribute to your weight loss. How much you exercise, if you have like a thyroid problem, or if you have, I mean, that's just off the top of my head, but you know what I mean, like certain individuals have certain different things to work with. But if we had to go for a one size fits all calorie deficit, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to do any workouts, you don't have to move from your seat, but if you are consuming less than what you, no wait, if you are, yeah, consuming less than what you put out, you are going to lose weight. That is it. So say if I put out 1,500 calories per day, but I eat 1,000 calories, I'm in a deficit of 500 calories, and therefore I will lose weight over time. You just have to be consistent with it, and that will happen. Obviously, if you do more exercise, then your overall daily expenditure will go up, so you probably need more fuel to fuel your body, but for a one-size-fits-all, deficit, and you will lose weight. Next question. Priscilla asks, what are your thoughts on weighted vests when exercising? Is it worth investing in one? Okay, so weighted vests. If you're a beginner, I wouldn't suggest going getting one because you need to just focus on your form and everything like that. But I assume, Priscilla, you're probably not a beginner because why would anyone be looking at weighted vests if you're a beginner? So I would say they are worth it. They are great at increasing like your expenditure in your sessions, making them harder. You know, your heart rate is going to be higher. If you normally do a 5K at a certain amount, a certain time, it's possibly going to make it harder and you will take a little bit longer. It basically just increases the intensity of your sessions. So it's great because then when you take them off, it's going to increase your power and your endurance without it. So for example, my friend the other day was doing jumping deadlifts. I was like, are you mental? possibly. But it means that without the weight in the deadlifts, he would be able to explode further. And it gives you that extra resistance to be able to, without the resistance, move faster, be stronger for longer. So, in a nutshell, yes, I do agree with them. But you obviously want to make sure that you can, like, you're working with proper form and technique before that. Right, guys, that is me now. I have 45 seconds to say my goodbyes and to remind you that we are here every single Tuesday for an amazing show, as always. And if you do miss any of them, then you just join me on any of the good podcast platforms at What The Health Show. So enjoy, and I will see you next week. Lots of love. Goodbye.